You may have heard the story about a 65-year-old lady who lived in a large house and with a fertility specialist, she was able to have a baby. All her relatives came to visit her to meet this newest member of the family. When they asked to see the little baby, the new mother said, "Not yet." The little while later, they asked her again, "Could we now see the baby?" Again, the mother said, "Not yet." After a while, before the family was getting to leave, they said, "Now, could we see the baby?" And the mother said, "When the baby cries." "Okay. Why do we have to wait until the baby cries?" asked some of the members. The 65-year-old lady looked at them and said, "Because I forgot where I put it." Well, we are all getting up there, right? Myself included, not necessarily having a baby, but not remembering where we put things. I sometimes would go upstairs in my home thinking to pick up something, and I would get up there, and then I would look at myself and think, "Why did I come up here?" Or I would go to the garage looking for something. I would go to the garage and then figure out, well, I don't know why I came here. I don't know if that's you've gone through that or maybe not. It's just probably just me. But changes do happen in our physical body, isn't it? And we quickly, well, first we resist it. We deny it. And then we get used to it. I told in the early services, well, you know, after 50 years, it's just kind of a downhill. Remember the things that you did as a youth. You know, you were quick, you were able to pick up a sheet of paper from a stack of paper. And now I go to do that, I grab four or five papers and I have to, no, I just need one sheet. It takes a while, but what do? You get used to it. You start adjusting. This morning, our scripture was read from the Old Testament lesson, Genesis chapter 12, about Abraham. Abraham was the father of faith, we call him. God spoke to Abraham, and Abraham listened. He obeyed. He took that first step and went and did what God had told him to do. Abraham was 75 years old when God said, "Okay, pick up your tent and move. Pick up your family and move." And I was looking at that passage of scripture, not just Abraham, but the whole children of Israel, a whole nation. So I want you to let your imagination run, and I want you to capture this whole picture, who Abraham was the father of this nation. Think about our church. We've come 200 years. You know, last year we celebrated 200 years. And as you understand what God said to Abraham, and Abraham's response helps us as a church to get a glimpse of how God works in our lives as a church. Here is Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. We read, "The Lord said to Abraham, 'Leave your country, your people, and your father's house, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make you your name great and you will be blessed. Abraham obeyed. Sounds easy, doesn't it? He just obeyed and went. Could you imagine? 75 years old, and God tells, okay, pack your bags and move. I've got something great, something new. I'm not done with you yet. God has a plan, even as we try to understand the faith of Abraham. God has a plan for us, our church. We have come 200 years, and yes, we are in the middle of a transition. And God is there. God is with us. All we need to do is say, okay, Lord, take the step of faith and receive the new pastor who is coming and move where God is moving us. As you look at Abram, and then he became Abraham. Again, I want you to look at the whole picture. So God gives Abraham this promise. I will multiply your generation. I mean, you will be the father of a great nation. Here is this big promise. And so Abraham probably looked at Sarah and said, okay, so where is the kid? You're talking about a big nation. Multiply as the stars in the heaven, sand in the ocean, seashore. Where is the sun? So Sarah waited and waited and waited, and Sarah had an idea. She said, well, in Genesis chapter 16, verses 1 through 2, now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, but she had an Egyptian maidservant named Hagar. So she said to Abram, the Lord has kept me from having children. Go take my maidservant. Perhaps I could build a family through her. Hey, let's have a family. And you know how that went on. And it still goes on, isn't it? The conflict between Jews and their Muslims. Again, here is a promise, but it is hard to wait for God's timing, isn't it? We want God to work as fast as we want Him to work. He said, I'm going to have a kid right now. I mean, we want to drive through, pick one and go. But it was not God's timing. And sometimes even as a church, if you could pause and reflect on our history, sometimes we've done certain things that has hurt us as a congregation because we were not ready to wait for God's timing, for Him to guide, lead, and move us. And we've said, okay, let's try this option. Now we look back. But you know what? God is so loving and so gracious. As you can see, even with Ishmael, God blessed Ishmael. God blessed Ishmael. And God blessed Abraham's offspring, Isaac. God had a plan. God had a great plan. And sometimes we need to wait. We need to wait for God's timing. We need to wait for that time when God says, okay, now is the time. Now is the time. So change happens, and we need to learn to adapt and wait and be able to take that step when we are ready as a church and when God is ready for us. You know, I've been here 4 years, and you know, when I came, my goal was to be here for a while. And I had plans. I said, okay, let's get this started, and we'll move the church with God's help, with God's grace, to God's leading. And then suddenly I hear after 4 years, I am leaving. But God has a plan. It doesn't mean that God has changed his plan for the church. God still has that same plan. We need to be patient. We need to work together to fulfill God's plan when God brings Pastor Kevin here and working with him in ministry to take us to that next phase, to be blessed and to bless others in our neighborhood. God's calling takes us out of our comfort zone in order to rebuild our characters, to shape it up. Last week we talked about pruning. Sometimes that takes place as well. God moves us. Sometimes we are too comfortable where we are. We've done some things and we want to keep it the same way. I know, we were kind of getting comfortable. Now we know what we're doing. We've got used to the pastor. The pastor's got used to the congregation. Right? No, God's like, okay, move on. Move out of your comfort zone, which is so scary and hard to do because we don't want to go there. We don't want to get to know another person. But God keeps us moving. God keeps us on our toes. He doesn't show us exactly all his blueprints, does he? Does he show you, okay, this is step one, and then you will be doing this next year? It would be nice to have a blueprint, but God does not work that way. God urges us to step up, step into. He invites us to come along and see. Come along and see, and you will find. Remember Peter in that boat with Jesus? Peter is pretty comfortable. It's a stormy day. The waves are rising, and Jesus is in the boat, and they wake him up, and Peter kind of knows, okay, even through the storm, he knew that Jesus was in the boat. And then what happens one day when Jesus was not there? He sent them ahead of him. And then there was another storm. And then he appeared to them. They were first afraid. But then they recognized it was Jesus. And Peter says, Lord, saw him walking on water and said, Lord, could I jump? Could I come to you? And Jesus says, sure, come on up. Come on out. And Peter steps out of this boat, knows the depth. This man's been fishing. He knows how deep this water is and the storms that could create in that area. He steps out. He goes. He's fine. He's fine for a minute. And then he quickly realizes the brain is now working. He realizes, whoops, this is deep water. This is deep water. Peter takes his eyes off of Jesus for a second and realizes the circumstances that he is in. His mind says, how could a human walk on water? Yes, it is so deep. What am I doing? Whoom. There he goes. He sinks. My friends, that happens to us, doesn't it? When we take our eyes off of Jesus. When we take eyes off of Jesus and when we look at our situations, our circumstances, it is a storm, believe me. It is a storm raging. But we don't realize that Jesus told us to walk, to get out of that comfort zone, to walk towards Him and to keep our eyes focused on Him. Abraham, I like to look back, go many, many years in Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 17. The Lord says, this is what the sovereign Lord says, I will gather you from all the nations and bring you back from all the countries where you have been scattered, and I will give you back that land. Now this is many, many, many years after the call of Abraham. You know, they came to the promised land, they rebelled, they did their thing, they went their own way. They went into captivity. God brought them back. They repented. God brought them back. Then they rebelled again. Back in captivity. And here, now, you know, more captivity and scattered. But God's promise is the same. I will bring you back. I will bring you back. My friends, God's promise is still with us. The ministry that began 200 years ago is not just going to fall by the wayside. It is not. God has chosen you at this very moment. God has empowered you with His Holy Spirit. And God has greater things that you have not even seen in your past to happen. Are you willing? Are you willing to step forward? Are you willing to step out of that comfort zone, that boat, and walk to Jesus? Keep your eyes on Him, not others. I mean, pastors come and pastors go. Keep your eyes on Jesus, that you will not sink, but you will stand with Him and walk and continue the race that God has placed before us, this church. So may the Lord lead us. May the Lord guide us. May the Lord equip and empower us as we, as a congregation, take this step of faith with the Lord. Gracious Lord, we thank you. Thank you, Lord, for Pastor Kevin who is coming. We thank you, Lord, for the gifts and graces that you have equipped him with. And Lord, putting you first and focusing our eyes on Jesus. Lord, that yes, we as a congregation are able to take that step and move in the direction that you are moving us. Give us the courage, Lord. Give us the strength. Give us the ability to work with each other, work together with each other, to complement each other's gifts and graces, and to build this body of Christ, to serve our neighbors. We ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen.